The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Thursday, November 14th. It's Field. It's Mike, and it's Star Fanya here to preview not just tonight's game, but also get you caught up on all of the latest news. A little bit of research here from the great Kyle Soppy and Jackson Ajello in tag team teamwork. After the Cleveland Browns' 10th game of the 2018 season, Baker Mayfield conceded that he woke up feeling dangerous. Today will be the Browns' 10th game. No word yet on how Baker Mayfield woke up feeling this morning. But Mike, how did you wake up feeling this morning? Or how did you feel when you woke up?
I woke up feeling ready for a Browns win and a strong second half. I mean, you know what's funny, though, about him waking up feeling dangerous and then them going on that run is, you know, a lot of people pointed to they had a pretty light schedule down the stretch. They have a pretty light schedule this season, too. So maybe they make a run. Bill Barnwell, our friend, just posted an article today. You know, got basically a regression of the mean article and touchdown department teams who are going to be better, easier schedules, tougher schedules. And the Browns are one of them teams that are kind of like a sneaky team to make a playoff push.
Bill trying to steal Mike's real estate on the regression team.
No, it's great.
Come
stuff.
On. He does great work. Proprietary info. No, we love Bill Barnwell. Stefania, how'd you wake up feeling? How'd you feel when you woke up this morning?
I overslept. I'm going to be behind. That's because I've already had my game of the week this week. I know it's week 10, but when you have that game on a Monday night, you know, and then it took a lot out of me.
Yeah, where's the face mask? Where's Joe Montana's face mask?
I had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. No, that guy did not rip it off and send
it
to me.
She goes to one game.
Yeah, that's right. For those who have not seen this story, Joe Montana's statue outside of Levi's Stadium had the face mask ripped off. I believe they have now found a suspect who ripped the face mask off. 15-yard flag, and it's been fixed. So,
yeah, I would never. You have to understand. Why would you think that I would do anything to deface property of the 49ers? Because I love and revere my 49ers. I would never do such a thing.
It's a souvenir.
Especially number 16. No.
Listen,
I was
at the last.
Souvenirs are here. Heart, head, memories. That's it.
I was at the last game, baseball and football, at the Vet. Because I grew up at the Vet. I was there all the time.
And you destroyed property?
I did not, but I remember leaving as a kid. I was, you know, relatively young at that time. People just leaving, stealing seats.
This is shocking to me in Philly.
It was unbelievable.
It's hard to believe.
What was the person thinking who was like, I want the toilet seat?
You know what they're thinking? They're going to put that in their man cave with like a sign that says, you know, this is from the Vet.
I mean, I have seats. I bought like an actual human being. I bought the seats. I have a Spectrum seat, the Philly Spectrum, and I have two seats.
In your house.
But that's normal, Mike. Like, that's called like being very normal and doing what a lot of other people in that situation would also do. I don't understand going and grabbing the toilet seat.
Yeah, that was that was bizarre, but I specifically remember.
Maybe I'm too hygienic for my own good. Anyways, we've got a lot to get to today on the football front, so Daniel, let's hit it.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Mike kind of showed his hand there on the picks can pick him for the game preview we'll have in just a bit. But before we preview the game, we'll discuss some injuries because the GOAT is back. Starfania, you are here with some updates because most teams have had one practice in the books now. And let's begin in Houston, where Will Fuller has missed a lot of time, but they're coming off their bye, and he seems to be trending in the right direction.
He's definitely trending in the right direction. He last played in week, do you guys remember?
Seven.
Oh,
I was lucky.
Well done.
There you go. That was the week he played three snaps, right?
That's a different player. That's David Johnson. Did Will Fuller play only three snaps
back,
in that game?
He played three snaps.
Yeah.
Stop derailing Stefania's analysis, Mike.
Whatever. Mike's got to show me
up
on the numbers.
Go steal more furniture.
It was just a question.
I'll ask the questions in this segment.
Okay, go ahead. This is all you. I won't say another word.
Last played in week 7, hasn't played since, and week 10 was the bye week for them. Back to limited practice. Remember, they played in London before as well. He did not travel. So he hasn't practiced at all since being hurt. Comes back to practice this week. They had a Monday practice. He's limited both days. So I think people are encouraged and kind of wondering because we thought after the bye, this would be the time that he would come back. I think they're going to want to see full practices out of him. I would not be surprised if it's not this week. But keep in mind, they have a Thursday night game against Indy that's a home game.
Oh,
so they're
right?
away against the Ravens on Sunday. They're home against Indy. That's what I'd be eyeing as probably the Will Fuller return. Starts a slate of three home games for them. With this guy, the last thing they want to do is put him out. And you can't guarantee, especially when it's a hamstring. And we know he's had this problem before. But I would think that they're going to want to get him a lot of reps in practice before they put him back out there next Thursday, week 12.
So it sounds like it might be one more week for Will Fuller, which would mean that Kenny Stills steps back in against the Ravens. Adam Thielen, Stefania, this one's tricky. Whether he plays or not. It's just that this is a player that came back. He did what you were just referring to with David Johnson, came back for just a few snaps against Kansas City, and then it seemed to set him back a little bit.
Right. Just to recap, injured week 7. Week 7 was a bad week for hamstring injuries in the NFL.
Yeah.
Injured week 7, then he sat out week 8 because, remember, they had a Thursday night game right after, and he wanted to play, but there was just no way he was going to be ready. He returned week 9. He lasted for 7 snaps, and then he was out, aggravating the hamstring injury, and then out week 10. Look, he's not practicing. I don't think he's going to play this week, especially they have a bye next week. So, again, out this week, but he was doing some side work. He was stretching with the team. Like, he was doing things that you start to see guys do when they're inching a little bit closer, but still not practicing. So make your plans for no Adam Thielen this
week. Mike, we'll talk about wide receiver quarterback matchups in more depth later, but could this mean some Chris Harris vis-a-vis Stephon Diggs on Sunday? And how much of a negative matchup is that really this year?
I think it is a negative matchup. The Broncos have allowed the third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers this season. Harris has aligned against a lot of number ones. He's spent almost no time in the slot, which is kind of crazy, right? Because we think
that's
about him as
his
slot,
career
right?
is, yeah.
Yeah, well, most of his career has been in the slot, you know, so it's been something else. But Stephon Diggs primarily lines up on the outside. Diggs is shadow number ones, and I wrote in the column earlier this week that if Thielen is out, I definitely expect Harris to shadow him in this game. So it's a tough matchup, and Diggs is underwhelmed since Thielen's been out.
He's very Jekyll and Hyde, as Stephon Diggs, so if you're playing him, you're hoping that he, A, has one of his good days, and B, does so against a very good matchup. Jacoby Brissett, Stephon, you missed last week for the Colts. You just mentioned they have a Thursday game next week against the Texans, so part of me is wondering, might he be on the Will Fuller plan of not playing on Sunday to rest up for week 12?
I don't think so. Frank Reich said before Wednesday's practice, if Jacoby was back out there in full practice, I mean, he kind of set it up. He said if he's out there and he's a full go in practice, then you can assume that he's going to play.
Okay.
Well, he was a full go in practice on Wednesday, so there was not even a ramping up. This guy's so tough. I just go back to the injury when it happened. I wasn't sure if it was just his knee, his ankle, both. I mean, he really got he got crunched, and he had an MCL sprain. That was the diagnosis that we heard of. He stood on the sideline for the remainder of that game. I mean, standing there, I don't know how he did it, because that hit looked like it could have been a blowout to his knee. I mean, he certainly looked like it was had the potential to be a bigger injury. Luckily for him, it was not. Missed one game coming back this week.
He's a tough dude. Yep, certainly expect to see him on Sunday against Jacksonville. If not, we know it will be Brian Hoyer, but good to have Jacoby Brissett back on the field for Indy. Unlikely to have T.Y. Hilton, of course, on Sunday. Christian McCaffrey, Stefania, has been sort of on a veteran's plan of late. Is there any reason for concern, or is this just them being smart?
Well, when there's a foot injury in Carolina right now, everybody gets nervous. And Christian McCaffrey did not practice yesterday because of a foot. He got stepped on in last week's game. Ron Rivera said they were giving him a breather. My understanding is that he will play on Sunday. They are allowing his foot to get better. So don't be alarmed when you see Christian McCaffrey did not practice, foot next to his name.
Mike, would you start him?
Yes, I would.
Okay, just you ran the projections
I'm gonna
on
start,
that one?
I'll double check and get back to you later in the show, but I would say my gut feel is start Christian McCaffrey.
Gotcha.
Headline, start Christian McCaffrey.
Gotcha. Video team has that one ready for after the show.
Sometimes we pick out, so obviously the injury report is much bigger than the 4 or 5 guys we name. So just for a little housekeeping, I try to pick the ones where there's either something actionable or something that I know is going to provoke a lot of questions. Like Christian, we all know Christian McCaffrey, we start him if he plays, but you see him as not practicing with a new injury next to his name. Last week, he didn't practice because he had a knee issue. This week, it's a foot issue. So, you know, it's the kind of thing that makes fantasy managers very, very nervous. So that's why I pick out these guys.
This just came to my mind, so I'm not trying to hijack the segment here, but I do want to mention this. David Johnson, not only did he practice in full yesterday, he wasn't even on the injury report.
I looked at that too, and I thought, I was going to bring this up.
Well, this is a continuation from the Monday or Tuesday conversation that Matthew and I had, where Matthew's supposition was that something was wrong. Like,
everybody's saying that, and part of it is because of the way he looked. We talked about this off show a little bit.
That's what I kept saying. Yeah,
you know, he doesn't look right when he's running. You know, I don't really know what it is. He is not being listed with an injury issue. I think they like what they have in Kenyon Drake, and they're, for whatever reason, I'm very nervous about what this means for David Johnson. Right. Although, you know, it's funny because I feel like people have short memories. He actually has looked good in the earlier part of the season. Now everybody's like, oh, David Johnson was never going to be that this year. I don't know that when we started off the season, we didn't think this was the way it would go.
Don't interpret this as a crass comment, but I almost wanted David Johnson to be on the injury report so that I could say, hey, wow.
Justification.
No wonder he looked so bad on Sunday. Maybe he was banged up with the knee issue or something. And I don't know. There's one run that's made the rounds on Twitter of him looking, as Mike said yesterday, I think before our show, look like an offensive lineman with the football in his hands. So,
and Chase Edmonds still hurt, but I think they really liked what they saw in Chase Edmonds too. I just feel like this is they're seeing some things in Chase Edmonds and Kenyon Drake, and you know, I wondered, is this maybe a motivational thing for David Johnson? We're going to bench you. We want to see better next week. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you this: we will have David Johnson commentary on the show tomorrow to give you a sense of whether you should start him, whether you should ignore, whether you should sit him, whether you should trade him. We'll figure all of that stuff out. The ESPN fantasy trade deadline, by the way, is now 6 days away, noon Eastern time next Wednesday for those who play on ESPN.com with standard settings. Time now for a game preview.
Game preview!
If you may have noticed that Keith is not here. Tom Carpenter doing an able job filling in for Keith. And Keith is in Cleveland tonight to watch the Browns host the Pittsburgh Squealers. For those that missed the joke on Monday, Keith's daughter Allison called them that, and she's adorable. I'm not going to defy her wishes for them to be called the Squealers.
Has Keith ever gone to a game that they've won?
You know something, Stefania?
Because I know he's gone.
I think it was 1994. That's the last one.
But I mean, since some of the turnaround, he hasn't been fortunate.
Well, so Keith has been sitting in on the podcast since the start of what, last year or the season before?
Season before, I feel like.
Yeah, so it's been somewhere, might have been last year when the stream went live day to day. But in any event, since Keith began sitting in day to day on this podcast, I don't recall him coming back after
a win.
I'm sure he has on one occasion, but like, unfortunately, I feel like a lot of Keith's visits to Cleveland have resulted in losses. Now, a lot of home games in general have resulted in losses, so Keith is not some bad luck charm. But we'll pay this off in just a minute because I have some karmic feelings about this game. The Browns are favored by 2.5 points. On the Steelers' side, they got some good news on the injury front here, Stefania, as James Conner, say, clean bill of health, sort of.
Well, he's off the pregame injury report. I mean, that's what you want to see. Full practice every single day. You know, we've seen him be out there. I think you've seen him in pregame warmups, even throwing, catching passes, looking like a guy who was close. The Steelers really had the luxury. I think had this been late, certainly if it were the playoffs, very late in the season, you might have seen him back sooner. But why do that when you were getting the production that you got out of the remainder of the backfield? So James Conner, a chance to really get his shoulder right, full practice this week, and will play tonight.
All right, that's good news there, Mike. Must start for James Conner tonight? Top 10 play?
Yeah, I think so. I have him RB8. He has at least one touchdown in four straight games. 14-plus touches in every game this season, so you'll like that floor. Also, 23-plus touches in his past two outings. A lot of volume since Mason Rudolph has taken over. He's RB7 in fantasy points per game. There's really a lot to like. And by the way, if you look at the Browns' defense, it's probably worse than it looks against running backs. They haven't faced a lot of volume, but their efficiency has been really bad. The fifth-highest yards per carry allowed, the fifth-highest catch rate as well, the seventh-highest yards per target. They've allowed the eighth-most scrimmage yards to running backs, so only 7 touchdowns so far. So all in all, I think it's a good matchup, and his volume has been tremendous. There's a lot to like here.
Interestingly, when James Conner was out, obviously Jalen Samuels was awesome as a pass receiving back 2 weeks ago with 13 catches. But what might actually be encouraging for James Conner, because part of me wondered this, James Conner sits out a couple of weeks, maybe they just sort of remind themselves, hey, Jalen Samuels is a capable guy. We can use him a bit here or there. We can spell James Conner a bit. Hey, Trey Edmonds actually ran well for him in the past couple of games. no one really sort of dominated carries for Pittsburgh during these two games, which makes me think that not only is James Conner back tonight, but he's back with a vengeance as a full-time back, and that you should feel confident starting him, as Mike just laid out there.
Yeah. And by the way, they also have a history of the backup coming in, getting 20-plus touches, and then just disappearing completely.
D'Angelo Williams is like, what's up?
And we've seen it with Samuels, essentially, sure, late last season, where he came in and played very well. And then coming into the season, there was hype for him to potentially have standalone value. You saw him being ranked way earlier than he should have been, or drafted in drafts, and he was a non-factor again while Conner was healthy. So
it gets interesting, though, I think more interesting, with Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju, I think, was added to the injury report with an illness or something like that. Am I making that up, Stephon?
Last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I joked. Last week, he was sick. This week, he's not sick. However, maybe sick of playing him, Mike. You see what I did there?
A long way to get back to what I was trying to ask, which is,
should Juju Smith-Schuster be benched tonight?
It's a close call. I'm at wide receiver 34. So if you start three receivers in a flex, I still think you're firing him up. If not, I think there's a case to put him on your bench. Here's the thing. He's wide receiver 36 this season. He has finished 47th or worse in three of his past four games. And that's despite the fact, this kind of surprised me, his yards per target is up from last season. It's actually better than he went with Big Ben last season, but he's only averaging 6.4 targets per game. Again, you chase volume, not efficiency. He has actually a decent matchup here with TJ Carey. Remember, he had a really tough one against Ramsey last week, so it's a little better this week. The Browns defense, by the way, just looking at the matchup, better than average in most categories against wide receivers, including receptions, receiving yards, yards per target, and catch rate allowed. So it's kind of a neutral matchup, maybe even a slight positive against Carey, the backup slot corner now for the Browns. So, you know, it's a tough one. You know, he has so much talent, but it just hasn't led to much fantasy production.
It'll be really interesting this offseason. I'm sure there'll be people that are smart that will do a study along the lines of, was Juju Smith-Schuster's disappointing season the byproduct of Ben Roethlisberger's injury? Or was it the fact that we maybe overinflated how productive he should be because, you know, he was running number two to Antonio Brown, who obviously there's a lot of moral concerns about, but from a football standpoint, still might be the most talented wide receiver on earth, that having Antonio Brown makes life a whole lot easier for whoever's opposite.
Can it be a combination of the two?
Now, that's way too pragmatic of you to say, Stephania. I'm sure it's a combination of the two.
No hot take here. Yeah. The one thing I will say he has going for him, he has this awesome French bulldog, Bougie, and Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for us, posted a story today. Go check it out.
Okay.
It's about how he used to have a fear of dogs, and then he adopted this dog, and his dog is like Instagram famous, and it's the cutest thing, and he has all these friends at the dog park who cheer him on. So even though Juju is having a tough fantasy season, he's got a lot of support from the dog park friends.
Okay.
Something we can all get behind.
I saw the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life yesterday. It was a dog with a tail on its forehead.
I saw that too.
It's like a narwhal.
It's got a little like a little
so
unicorn.
Cute.
That's cute.
We love dogs.
The cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So anyway, poor Juju. Yes, I know.
No, it's gonna be great. I can't wait. Juju, I'm with you, Mike. I've got him at number 40 amongst my wide receivers. I hope he gets back on track. I think there are a lot of people that may have found a more reasonable answer. I know this sounds crazy, but like, if you've added Devontae Parker over the last 5 weeks, you might be playing. I know he's got a bad matchup himself, still, somebody like that whose volume has been steadier, you might be playing. As crazy as that may sound, there are options, not saying specifically Devontae Parker, but players like that who have picked up some steam of late that might be worth playing. Any lottery tickets from the Steelers you guys want to mention tonight? Anybody that you're like, hey, James Washington, maybe Deontay Johnson, maybe
Ryan Switzer might get in the end zone. I think.
Okay, DJ.
Yeah,
with his zero. He's hurt anyway.
A dot of -7.2.
Yeah. Washington and Johnson they've been all over the place. It's really hard to trust them right now. I think they're just no more than dart throws. So
right.
I would stay away if you can. Vince McDonald's trending up with targets though. So if you're desperate at tight end, he could be a sneaky option.
Okay. Yeah, Vance McDonald.
Yeah. I think otherwise, I think it's pretty chalk. James Conner. Yeah. James Conner. More James Conner.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that hiring can be a challenge?
Yes.
Or as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner herself discovered? Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter and said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best one. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 2 weeks. That's right, 2 weeks. Wow. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Moving along for the Browns, Baker Mayfield woke up feeling dangerous. Would it be dangerous to play him tonight in fantasy football?
You're smooth today, man. You got these transitions.
Well,
I spent a lot of time thinking about
fire.
This.
Yeah. They are amazing.
Spent a lot of time thinking about this. Yeah.
Yes, it would be. I'm not going to do that. Look, he only has 9 touchdowns this season. Week 10 marked his first game over 1 passing touchdown in a game this season. They were the last team to get there. The Browns, we've talked about that stat quite a bit throughout the season. The schedule has been hard, yes, but he only has 9 passing touchdowns, as mentioned, and 12 interceptions. He's a number 23 scoring quarterback. He has 0 weekly finishes, better than 10th, so he has not been a QB1 or better than 10th this season, and a tough matchup.
Kyle is going to put together at some point this season the most random list of quarterbacks that had a top 10 finish this year that does not include Baker Mayfield. It's going to be, for example, I believe Jeff Driscoll was a top 10 quarterback last week. Jeff Driscoll filling in for the Lions against the Bears. All right.
Yeah, not great.
Someone came off the bench. Was Gardner Minshew a top 10 quarterback in week one? He might have been at least close.
There's going to be a few.
A Kyle Soppy stat just waiting to happen at some point.
Yeah. And when you don't scramble and you're throwing a lot of interceptions and not getting touchdowns, that's going to hurt you, right?
I do think.
Yeah. And again, he is a tough matchup here. Steelers 7th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Also have the 2nd most interceptions, as mentioned, just in an area where Mayfield is already struggling, and the 3rd most sack. So
can they score a touchdown from the 2-yard line? Can we work on that part, guys? Is that too much to ask of you?
Yeah. 5 carries for Nick Chubb from the 1 last week.
Well, how about Nick Chubb? Let's talk about Mr. Nick Chubb because Nick Chubb is ranked as a top 10 play for all of us, of course, this week. The Steelers have yet to allow a 100-yard rusher this season. Can the Browns change that tonight with Nick Chubb? And, I mean, listen, you're starting Nick Chubb, so I'm just going to put it to you. Can he break 100 yards tonight, Mike? What do you think?
I think he is good enough to do it. I don't have him projected there.
That's not saucy, Mike. Of course he's good enough to do it. It's Nick Chubb. Will he?
I don't think he does.
No. If I had to bet against it, I would say no. But
fine. Let's bet.
Okay.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay.
I say Nick Chubb goes over 100 rushing yards tonight against the Steelers.
I say Nick Chubb goes under 100 rushing yards tonight against the Steelers. Put it on the board.
Wow.
That was my best one ever.
I think it might have been his best
one. Yeah, that really was good. I'm not going to lie.
You're so disappointed.
I sort of liked it when it was a dumpster fire. You know what I mean?
So do I, honestly.
There was still,
I'm proud of Mike.
Still got ways to go.
Anyway, now that I bet against Chubb, can I say a lot of positive things?
Sure, go ahead. Now that part, you can redeem yourself.
RB7 on my board. Let's look at last week. I mean, we want to go back 1 week and see what it was like with Kareem Hunt in the lineup. Still, Nick Chubb, despite Kareem Hunt playing a big role, 20 carries and 4 targets and played 80% of the snaps, ran 22 pass routes. That was equal to Kareem Hunt. So you still like his usage. It did not drop off as much as we anticipated. That said, he hasn't had a top 12 fantasy week since week 6. So we need to try and get him into the end zone. Again, if he would have scored last week, that would have changed. The efficiency, though, Field has been terrific as a rusher. He is the 4th best yards per carry and is 7th best after initial contact among running backs this season. Efficiency as a pass catcher, not as good, but again, most of his work is going to be focused as a rusher. Top 7 in carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns. And believe it or not, now 2nd in carries inside the opponent's 5-yard line. I wonder how that happened.
That is very impressive, as he had about 19 of them last week.
Yes,
Kareem
indeed.
Hunt, his backup, but perhaps not just that, perhaps more than just Nick Chubb's backup, perhaps a utility player for this Browns offense, played about 58% of the snaps in week 10. Of course, his season debut, we've all got him ranked inside of our top 30 this week. Mike, the passing game volume was so encouraging last week. Do you have any guess whatsoever? I think he'll stay close to as involved as a pass catcher?
Not to that extent, but I think in the 5 to 6 target range.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of in that range. He did line up a wide receiver on 9 of his 22 pass routes in that game. His 9 targets were actually 3rd most on the team. So, like you said, a lot of involvement. But the Steelers, by the way, and I didn't really mention this with Connor, but very good against running backs. 6 fewest fantasy points allowed. They've only allowed 4 touchdowns to running backs, and they've been really good against pass catching backs as well. They're only allowing 4.9 yards per target and a 64% catch rate. They're 5th or better in both of those categories. So, again, the Steelers just kind of really good all around, and they can slow down pass catching back. So that gives me a little bit of pause about Hunt as a flex option.
All right.
Here's what I think. I think your 100 yards can come from the two of them together.
No question.
I think Tom Brady and Carson Wentz might combine for 300 yards on Sunday.
If they can prevent a 100-yard rusher, they could keep them from rushing for 100 yards total.
Okay.
Between Field and Matthew, one of them's going to be here on time every single day. 100% with you, I'm Stefania.
Really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree with you, though. Between the Steelers and the Browns, one of them is going to win tonight. Yes.
This is going to be awkward if they tie.
I'm going to pull Matthew and I'm going to walk off the show. I'm going to leave.
The difference
I want them to tie so you could use that.
When Matthew threatens that, I'm like, go for it. When you do that, I get sad.
Yeah, please don't. We love you here.
All right. So anything else you want to add on Kareem Hunt?
No. Nick Chubb, 85 yards tonight. That's
okay. 85 yards. 105, but whatever. Now, for those of you that don't know, there is one person on this show that is outstanding at his job above all others. Well, Stefania is also one of the best ever. Mm-hmm. But Daniel, when he decides to unleash a player, Daniel has a track record that is as clean as, I don't know, something that's very clean. It's like it's been bleached clean.
I'm like the Tyler Lockett efficiency of
releasing Daniel players. Is as efficient at releasing people as Tyler Lockett is at catching passes from Russell Wilson. Daniel Dopp, to his credit, unleashed Juju Smith-Schuster. Later on that day, he had 100 yards, or later on that weekend. Saved the gap with Stephon Diggs. You know what he did? He went crazy. Yep. Three touchdowns in that game. Daniel, I'm handing the microphone over to you, and you have an opportunity, if you so choose, to release a player into the fantasy goodness.
I've been thinking about it a lot. I've been getting a lot of vibes, a lot of energy feeling around this player, and I'll tell you right now, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have 80 yards plus and a touchdown tonight.
Let's go.
Lock it up.
Go.
Put it on the board.
Put that on the board. I'm with you, Daniel. Woo. I'm in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big call.
Yeah. Daniel Dyson. Oh, what? Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
On. That is a big call.
Cool. So you put on your big girl pants for one show. Now you can come at me. All right.
Goes to San Francisco once.
Hey, guys.
It's tough, right?
Steals I did a plane ride by myself.
Mask once, blazes on some other guy, gets him arrested. And all of a sudden, she's like, stalwart.
It's prison Stefania.
Prison Stefania.
Exactly.
Alcatraz. Mike hangs out in Alcatraz. Penitentiary. Stefania breaks out of Alcatraz.
She really did.
You think you're some, like, come on.
I'm telling you, OBJ is going to be a top 12 wide receiver at the end of this week.
Ooh.
I love it.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, Daniel, right. I'm with you.
Crazy. Crazy that a number one wide receiver could be a top 12 wide receiver.
Oh,
I know
on.
It hasn't happened.
Oh, my
happened.
Gosh.
I know. It's been a terrible year for Odell Beckham Jr.
She is so Matthew right now.
Seriously.
You are so Matthew.
I just want to poo-poo on fun, guys.
Yeah.
It's just fun to poo-poo.
Any other things to add on Odell? Reasons to be concerned?
I have some stats. You want some stats? I do my research, right?
I won't be listening, but you have the right to do that.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
I just need like 12 minutes. Is that good? I have Beckham, wide receiver 15. I'm a little south of your wide receiver 12 here. The Browns, and again, we talked about this last week. They've had the hardest schedule for wide receivers through week 10. I have the mid-pack the rest of the season. So it is a much easier schedule. It should help Beckham. And I think there's a reason Daniel waited until after the Rams game to.
Oh, what do you mean wait? I don't wait. It's when the timing is right, Mike. Right. I mean, sometimes the timing is right.
Yeah, it's convenient.
Six catches plus tonight.
One weekly finish better than 18th. He's been 35th or worse six times this season, but he's had double-digit fantasy points in all but 2 weeks. So he's probably been a little better than he gets credit for. The floor has been okay. Big target share. Lots of targets per game, even though it's a career low. The big problem has probably been work near the goal line. Only one touchdown this season and 56 at wide receiver in OTD. But again, better matchup than he's used to so far this season. So maybe this is the week he gets going.
You know something? Greatness stems from audacity. Daniel, you know what I'm feeling right now?
I think this might be a Hall of Fame nomination.
Let's go.
Good call.
You said wide receiver 18 is the highest that he's been?
One better than 18.
Only one game better than wide receiver 18.
Yeah.
And I see at least six catches with 80 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
top 12.
Yeah. Easy. I think top 12 for sure. Anybody disagree? Call of fame.
I can't wait to put you in the call of shame. That's all.
So if you have this, if you hit a top 12 week from Odell, call of fame
outside top 25.
I just went
top 25 outside.
25. Yeah.
Oh, that hurts him. Right. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Outside top 25 would be
Call of Shame.
Call of Shame.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike missed his, right? But it was close, but he missed it.
It was not shame-worthy.
Yeah, it wasn't. No, the Melvin Gordon wasn't shame-worthy. He just wasn't Hall of Fame.
Right. No one made the Hall of Fame.
I was a week early on that.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, have at it. I like it. Daniel's Hall of Fame. Odell Beckham Jr. will be a top 12 wide receiver in week 11. Jarvis Landry, his partner in crime, has been actually really good over the past couple of weeks, Mike. Must start territory for Jarvis Landry now?
He's wide receiver 24 for me, so yeah, probably. I mean, he's 20th on the season, and the volume has been tremendous. He's actually out-targeting Odell this season. 10-plus targets in three straight games. He has a 26% target share. That's 8.7 per game. That's terrific volume. 12-plus fantasy points in five of his past six games. So he's been very reliable. And actually, he's had bad luck in the touchdown department. He only has two. His OTD is well higher than Odell Beckham's at 3.7. His five end zone targets. His efficiency's better. Yards per target is his best since 2016. He is third best in the NFL at wide receiver after the catch.
Really good.
He's third best in the league. The Steelers, we know that they're... this is actually an interesting note, I think. So we've picked on their slot coverage a lot, right?
It's been better
for a long time. They're worse against the slot in terms of fantasy points a lot of the season. However, with Antonio Callaway out last week and Rashard Higgins in and playing the slot, they moved Landry outside for 27 of his 40 routes. So the matchup could actually be tougher than it might have been a few weeks ago. It really depends on if Callaway plays and if they use him or Higgins. There's a lot of variables there. So keep that in mind. But I still think regardless, if you have him, you're probably starting him.
Let's pick this game. Let's do it. Let's have some fun here. And I mentioned earlier on that Keith Lipscomb is at this game tonight in Cleveland. And for a while, I had the Steelers as my pick in this game. I woke up this morning and I said, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling like the only way to make correct calls is to sometimes go with your heart, not your head. And my heart is telling me to pick the Cleveland Browns, baby. Let's go. Cleveland rocks.
I'm with you. Browns 21, Steelers 19.
Starfanya?
No.
Steelers. No. Just no.
Wow.
Just no. Okay. Steelers.
You really are channeling inner Matthew, like no fun. You're just like, nope, Squealers.
Daniel, how about you?
What do you mean? What do you think I'm going to take your field?
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Lips rock.
That
well
is
done.
Not a vote against Keith, by
Big
the way.
Day, oh.
Don't try and make it like I'm voting against Keith.
Well, three of us picked the Browns.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to get a little nervous.
One of us knows that the Browns haven't beaten the Steelers since 2014.
Yeah, that's irrelevant. In just a minute, we'll discuss Mike's wide receiver cornerback matchups for the week. But first, a word from the fantasy show.
He's a brainiac, brainiac. He's Mike Clay.
We have the worst producer. Oh, is my mic on?
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? Who are you today? What?
It's definitely, she got too close to Alcatraz.
She really did. I think those Dementors really have gotten to her little brain pan. You know what I'm saying?
She her workout in out west was a swim.
Yeah.
The swim from Alcatraz.
Long swim.
Apparently, Not Cool Keith is watching us live on Twitter.
Yeah, he is.
Because I just got a text that said, oh, it's not a vote against me, huh, Stefania? With a thumbs down. Wow. Keith, Not Cool
He's coming
Keith
for you.
At me too.
Everybody's
really,
a little spicy today. You know that?
I'm going to pack up myself and go home.
Everybody's a little spicy.
It's true.
It's getting late in the season.
It's true.
We're in the dog days of the football season.
I'm going to take my stuff and leave.
Okay. Let's talk about wide receiver quarterback matchups. We begin with one that we kind of highlighted yesterday on the show, which is the Carolina Panthers facing the Atlanta Falcons. Mike, tell us about DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel against the Atlanta Falcons.
I will. We've been on the DFS pod. We've been talking about them week after week.
Every week.
I know. They've been tremendous values, and they've paid off in a big way. And they're going to again this week. They have a great matchup here against the Falcons. We'll see if Desmond Trufant comes back from injury. He's been about out a little over a month, but it doesn't matter. He was struggling earlier this season as well, as has Isaiah Oliver. And now they have the rookie Kendall Sheffield in there as well. Falcons, six most fantasy points allowed to receivers this season, and the most of the perimeter since week three. They've especially been bad against left perimeter wide receivers, third most fantasy points to that spot, and that's where DJ Moore lines up almost 60% of the time. He's had 100-plus yards in back-to-back games, 73-plus yards in six of nine games. He's going to see a lot of Oliver in this game. Also, Curtis Samuel's going to see a lot of these guys, and he has been tremendous this season as well, as four touchdowns to go along with a pretty high yardage floor as well. So love all these guys. Six-plus targets in eight straight games for Curtis Samuel. That's good. I mean, that's
sure
pretty
is.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Six plus targets in eight straight.
Yeah.
Both of these guys reliable, high floors, and obviously we've seen some upside.
Well, to further emphasize that, the consistent reliability, Tristan knows that DJ Moore has actually been his most consistent wide receiver thus far, which I think is like, you know, like Mike Thomas probably has a case at the top tier, but consistent is in like the range has been pretty specific every single week. Cortland Sutton is a player that played really well last week or 2 weeks ago when Brandon Allen made his debut, and now he faces the all of a sudden vulnerable Vikings secondary, Mike Clay.
Yes, he does. Man, it's still awkward to be picking on the Vikings defense because they are a very good defense, but they cannot stop the pass right now. Xavier Rhodes struggling. And on the other side, Trey Waynes has had a really rough year, and then his replacement, Mike Hughes, hasn't really turned the corner yet, a first-round pick a couple of years ago. Another bad showing last week. I mean, one of the worst we've seen this season in terms of three receivers just beating them up. Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup all scored a touchdown, all at 76-plus yards in that game. And now they're going to take on this Denver offense. The Vikings have led the fourth most fantasy points to receivers. The most to perimeter receivers were Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, who's expected to be activated from IR play. Deshaun Hamilton, of course, is in the slot. So those guys benefit the most against these guys like Rhodes, Waynes, and Mike Hughes. Cortland Sutton, top 20 fantasy receiver four of his past 6 weeks. And he's going to see this this great matchup. So I know we're a little nervous about them being run heavy, not scoring much, the quarterback questions, but he's still a very good player with a good matchup here.
Crank it up. Let's get to the minus matchups, Mike, and we begin with Christian Kirk and the Cardinals traveling to San Francisco. They'll visit Stefania's wake that Mike just mentioned from swimming across the bay from Alcatraz back to San Francisco and play the 49ers for the second time in two NFL weeks. Kirk in a bad matchup, Mike, but the last time they played these two teams, it was actually 2 weeks ago today, they actually moved the football pretty effectively against the Niners.
They did, but Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald were not part of that, that moving the ball down the field. In fact, if we look specifically at that game, Fitzgerald had four targets and only 38 yards. Christian Kirk in that game, six targets, two catches, 8 yards, and no touchdowns. In fact, aside of Andy Isabella's 88-yard touchdown, which we remember, Cardinals receivers combined for 10 catches, 83 yards, and one touchdown on 14 targets. So really not that much production from that group. The 49ers, as we know, terrific against defensively and against receivers this season. Fourth fewest fantasy points allowed and the fifth most to the perimeter. They don't shadow, so it will be Christian Kirk on one side up against Richard Sherman. The 49ers have allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to that slot, and then we'll have and then Larry Fitzgerald will be in the slot against Kawan Williams. The Niners have allowed the fewest fantasy points to the slot this season. This is one of them rare games where a team aligns their players, their receivers at like one spot, doesn't move them around that much, and then the defense is the same thing. So you're actually going to see like Kirk and Sherman see each other throughout a majority of this game, and same thing with Fitzgerald in the slot.
By design, not by intention. The last one here is a player that actually, Stefania, might be worth mentioning from an injury front, front first. Alshon Jeffrey, banged up, still coming out of the Eagles' bye.
Yeah, exactly. Injured in week 9, they have the bye week, and then comes out on Wednesday to a non-practice, a non-participation in practice report. So I think they're still referring to him as day-to-day, but it's one. Where are we, Thursday? So obviously we want to see what he does today, but it sounds like you're down on him anyway, Mike.
Indeed.
Tell
Indeed.
Us more,
this
Mike.
This one hurts. An Eagle, you know, it's gonna be tough. Tough day at the office, I think, for Alshon Jeffrey here. We expect him to draw the Stephon Gilmore shadow in this game. The Patriots have been tremendous, much like San Francisco against receivers. Fewest fantasy points allowed, fewest to the perimeter, fewest to left perimeter receivers, which is where Alshon lines up 50% of the time. And then you look at Gilmore, who has he shadowed this season? Because there's often that debate. Well, maybe they'll put him on the two and they'll double Alshon. They don't do that nearly as much as you think. He shadowed Juju Smith-Schuster, Robbie Anderson twice, John Brown, Terry McLaurin, Odell Beckham, and Marquise Brown. It's the clear number one for the most part perimeter receivers. He's going to be on Alshon in this game. And the last time these two saw each other was in the Super Bowl a couple seasons ago. Gilmore did shadow Jeffrey in that game on 28 of his 41 routes. Jeffrey had a decent game, 3 for 73. And a touchdown on 8 targets. But when Gilmore was on him, he had 0 catches for 4 targets. And I think the way the Patriots' defense has been operated this season, those two will be up against each other more often than they were in that game. So it's a week where if I have Alshon, You heard the injury concerns as well. I would try to get him on my bench. And the same goes for Nelson Agholor. The Patriots have allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to the slot this season.
Okay, so if Alshon plays, well, he still might not be playing for you in your fantasy line. They play the Patriots, and 5 years ago today, the Patriots played the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football, and out of nowhere, Jonas Gray rushed for 201 yards and 4 touchdowns. The reason why we bring up Jonas Gray, and maybe it was 5 years ago Saturday, whatever, it was about 5 years ago, but the reason why this is topical now is because Jonas Gray is the subject of not just a piece authored by Liz Merrill on ESPN.com, but the ESPN Daily Podcast, whose newest episode is out today, and whose host we are joined by right now live on the 06-0-0, up early, Mina Kimes. Mina, what do you remember? What did you learn about Jonas Gray from 5 years ago, who I am sure you started in every league that you played in?
Well, first I'd like to say, 3 days ago, the Seattle Seahawks beat the San Francisco 49ers 27-24. How you doing, Stefania?
I was not aware of that.
I don't hear my. I cut her mic.
You haven't heard Stefania today. She's not going to deal with that too well. She's coming for it.
Oh, Mina. No. Where were you? A true fan would have made the trip to the Bay Area. I'm just saying.
Ooh.
Some of us went across the country. I know.
Yeah, what's your excuse?
Where was your loyalty? You had a much shorter trip than I did.
Thousands of miles to catch an L. No, you caught a great game, actually. And as I've said on my podcast, on the Bo Barnwell show, I think the outcome would have obviously been different if George Kittle was in the football game. But the Jonas Gray story,
moving off that really quickly before we can change that. Congratulations. Like, I am nothing if not I have respect.
Sore loser. If not a sore loser.
I got it out of my system mostly, so I'll now congratulate you. We meet again later this season.
Mina, she had like 7 glasses of wine on Monday night. She didn't care what happened in the game. She was just gallivanting amongst the masses. Yeah.
When you're 8-1, right? True. And I still think the San Francisco 49ers are probably one of the top two teams in the NFL. So the Jonas Gray story, that's been a lot longer since then. It's been 5 years. And I actually had a fantasy angle into it, which is, I want to say, a year after that or several months after that, I wrote a story about those two brothers in Boston who were on all the DraftKings commercials at the time, the Gomez brothers, because they won $1 million by picking Jonas Gray in daily. I think it was like 1.3% of lineups had him or something like that. And they were big Pats fans and they just kind of rolled the dice. And yeah, they put the money into their family's like restaurant or something, as I recall, but they were nice guys. And, you know, it was a great day for them, a great day for Jonas Gray. Unfortunately, things went downhill pretty quickly for him after he, and this is truly a nightmare tale for anyone. His phone charger unplugged. He was late to a meeting with Bill Belichick. And I think you guys can imagine how that went.
Yeah, he got every carry. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. He got benched and I don't think ever started the game for the Patriots. Again, fun fact, he actually led the team in rushing that year. Granted, they had like basically no running game, but still, Jonas Gray led the Patriots in rushing that season. Mina, how are your teams doing this year? Do you have time for fantasy teams? You only do like...
Yeah.
That was a reluctant, yeah.
I do. So I have three teams. Okay. Two I'm very serious about, I would say. And the serious ones, or the one I'm not serious about is the Levitard League.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't be serious. Yeah.
And yet you're probably still winning it.
Yeah. Actually, seriously, Stefania, I'd love to get... So the serious one is a dynasty league I'm in, and I'm feeling kind of nervous these days because my very first pick, my running back, is one Saquon Barkley. Stefania, should I feel okay about everything going on there?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can feel okay about Saquon Barkley because talent always wins out. And this kid's already proven that he's special. A little bit of a scare with the high ankle sprain this year. And I think that even when these guys come back from injuries like that, sometimes the productivity isn't always what it used to be pre-injury until either later that season or more in the following season. But I'm not particularly worried about him. I think you're safe.
Yeah, we'll see. It sounds like he had an MRI this week or something, yeah, but they're on the bye. Is that I feel like precautionary MRIs are cool, except for when they're being done to you.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you just want to make sure that nothing's changed, that, you know, everything is good. So the alarm bells didn't go off for me, at least not yet.
Mina, much of our audience is already familiar and has listened to the ESPN Daily podcast. The rest of them are morons.
All the time. Everyone. First one on the way into work.
How about that?
I'm not buttering you up either. Yeah. Just because, you know, your team beat mine. I actually really love it.
Look at that. Humble and defeat. What a gracious Stefania Bell she is. But Mina, if you could just tell us a little bit more, the audience, those who may not be as familiar, sort of what the intent is of the podcast daily and what sort of stories you guys dig into.
Sure. Every day we pick one story, and then I tell sometimes a nonsense story.
Which are usually my favorite part of the story.
They're so good.
Well, yesterday was my favorite one. It was about, I don't know if you guys caught it, it was about the Canadian shorts. Football fan who has not worn pants since 2001. So it's been 18 years because he made a bet that he wasn't going to wear them until Winnipeg, his team, won. Invested in the CFL playoffs. Yeah, his poor wife, by the way, he's still married, which is amazing. But yeah, every day we pick a different story. Today is the Jonas Gray story. So sometimes they're, you know, like lesser known stories. Sometimes they're bigger ones. The day before we did one on, you know, Russell Westbrook. By the way, Russell Westbrook, very hard to say.
Agreed.
Without saying Russell Westbrook, but Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And we have just writers, analysts from across the network doing those with us. And I think the biggest sell is that it's less than 20 minutes long every day. So it's, for me, it's the length of one morning dog walk with Lenny. For some people, if you're fortunate enough, that's the length of your commute. But it's kind of just a cool way to get a really interesting sports story in every day.
Well, I know the story. The subject of your story for Friday, Amina, will be the game on Sunday, which centers around Deshaun and Lamar Jackson. Without giving away the entire episode, any angle of this game that you're most looking forward to?
Oh my goodness. I am so pumped for this game. And I'm sure the fantasy implications. I mean, these defense, I would say the Ravens defense has improved a little bit as of late and come on strong, but I think they're very exploitable, defenses. I think Niners Seahawks was the wildest game of the year. I don't think it was the best football given all the injuries and what we saw on offense. I think this could be the best football we've seen, maybe, you know, since week one with the Texans and the Saints. So I'm just extraordinarily excited for it. I'm going with the Ravens. I think they're the more balanced team. I think Lamar, he was just put in such a great position to succeed this year, both schematically and also, I think, with the talent and personnel around him. And it's just really fun to watch that every week.
Mina, you'll appreciate this comparison that I make. The Ravens' defense this year is the Bears' offense last year. The Ravens' offense is so good that the defense is in opportune spots. Conversely, last year, the Bears' defense was so good that the offense was put in very good spots. Now, it still takes execution and all that, but dig into that comparison more. And everybody else, download and subscribe.
One more thing, because Mina just made me think of it, and I know, Mina, you've talked about this before, but that's one of my, I would like to propose that as a topic for the Daily, is about the situation that Lamar Jackson is in, where Baltimore really has work to create an offense where he can succeed. Why is that so unusual in the NFL?
Yeah, well, Field, we watched the 2018 draft together, right? I think we were in that weird basement room in Bristol, and I remember sitting next to you and Dominique Foxworth and watching Lamar Jackson fall in the draft, and Dominique and I had done a piece on him, so we'd watched a lot of his college tape. We had kind of studied the history of mobile quarterbacks, Stefania, which I think goes a long way to sort of answering your question, and we were... Our conclusion of the piece was that we wrote was Lamar Jackson can succeed if he lands with a team that's willing to build around him, which is not something we've seen with a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the NFL. So he's falling. We're getting nervous, you know, because he's in the green room. You always hate to see a kid in the green room dressed up. And then he falls to Baltimore and we look at each other and we're like, maybe this is perfect, right? Because look at that draft, guys. Look at Sam Darnold with the Jets and Josh Rosen, who's been through quarterback hell. Situation matters more than anything for a young quarterback. And I think Lamar Jackson ended up with a team that was willing to, you know, in elevating Greg Roman and adding players like Hollywood Brown and marking up, willing to do everything it took to make him succeed.
Well said on that. We look forward to watching Lamar and Deshaun on Sunday again. Download the ESPN Daily podcast. And thank you, Mina, for making some time. I know it's early out there on the West Coast this morning.
Thanks, guys.
All right, time now for a word via Stefania. Yes, Mina, one of our favorites.
I just want to say, this is what she is super, super smart.
Oh, Mina? She's ridiculously smart.
You know.
She went to the...
she went to Yale.
She went to the Wesleyan of New Haven. Yale.
She went to Yale, valedictorian of her high school, by the way.
Really?
Because I always say, weren't you valedictorian at Yale? She's like, Stefania. I go, well, you were valedictorian in high school, and then you went to Yale, and you were probably like top 1%.
Right. We all love Mina. She's great. So happy that she got the opportunity to host the ESPN Daily podcast.
She's terrific at it.
Follow her on forms of social media. Download, subscribe, read all of her work. You'll be hard-pressed to find somebody more talented than Mina Kimes. We're going to talk, answer a couple of social questions, but first a word about, I believe, SeatGeek, right?
That's
Daniel
right.
From Stefania Bell.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult
the
on purpose?
Yep.
It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decided to stand out from the crowd. Daniel asks...
Yeah, I want to ask Stefania. Okay, great, but why is SeatGeek better than the rest?
Well, Daniel, I'm glad you asked. A quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews. How's that for customer satisfaction? Plus, SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. And finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase.
All right, it is time for our social questions, which means we're going to hand it over to Thirsty Kyle. Daniel Dopp, just kidding, to Daniel Dopp to ask some of those questions today.
Yeah, we got a big question here from Toby Morell. Wants to know, the projections for Mohamed Sanu and Rojo are close this week. If you had to flex one of them, which I do, which one are you flexing?
Well, I am going to defer. I'll ask Mike Clay in a minute, but I'm going to defer instead to IBM Watson, who has a definitive stance here, as Ronald Jones' chance to boom is 10 percentage points higher than his bust potential, while Sanu's bust potential is 13% percentage points higher than his boom. So basically, the answer is obvious in that case, right? You got to go with Ronald Jones per IBM Watson. Mike, if you had the opportunity to make the same decision, who would you go with?
Well, first of all, you can't trust the projections. We know that at ESPN. But I would go Mohamed Sanu. I have him projected for 13 points, only 12 for Ronald Jones. Look, I feel like you and I had a board bet last week, right? Michael Gallup and Ronald Jones. I was on the Gallup side, and I feel like...
Yeah, I won that one.
Yeah, you won. You won because of something we did not expect, which was a massive amount of pass catching
Look
for
at
Ronald
this.
Jones.
You guys...
However...
The numbers didn't say he was going to catch that many passes, guys.
Whoa! Is that what I sound like?
Is there no integrity in
You know
the
what?
Board
We're
bet.
Doing another pod later.
Can anybody just make...
And I'll remember that.
Daniel
remember
is
that.
Like... Daniel takes days off now during the week. And
I took one day off! What are you talking about?
You're not here one day a week at least. Now you're like, oh, you know, write it into my contract. I'm not here 5 days a week.
My contract.
Too busy hosting the -/+ fantasy show, whatever it is.
We are all funny.
I love it. This is so good.
Yeah. Anyway.
Leave Mike Clay alone.
Thank you, Stefania.
For the moment.
You're my favorite. Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber actually had the same number of carries in that game, and Barber outrushed him in that one. And that's what we kind of talked about last week in all seriousness. Like, are we worried that if he stumbles a little, Barber just becomes a factor again? And that happened. Luckily, Jones had a lot of receiving production. Maybe that'll happen again. But I think my point is, I think the floor is a lot lower than IBM. All due respect to Watson, who's way smarter than me. I disagree. I think Sanu has a high floor and a high ceiling in that Patriots offense. He played every snap last game and went toe-to-toe with Julian Edelman for a ton of production.
So. All right, next up here, Daniel.
All right, Scott wants to know, with these heavy bye weeks, can I cut Sterling Shepard in a standard ESPN 10-team league?
The answer is yes.
No question. Yeah.
And here's the thing. Sterling Shepard expected to rejoin the Giants in practice fairly soon, but let's revisit what's happened. You know, two issues with concussion. got clear, went all the way through the progressive practicing, removal of the non-contact jersey, getting cleared by the independent neurological consultant, expected to play in a Monday night football game, and then had a recurrence of symptoms and then got put back inside the protocol. It doesn't mean he can't come back. It just means that every week you're going to have these questions and you see how it goes down to the wire. So I would want to see that he was back and had played in a game without any issues before I brought him back into my lineup. And we just don't know when that's going to be. And I don't think, look, the Giants are in no reason to rush. So by all means, in a standard ESPN 10 team league, move on.
Daniel, what else?
All right. This question comes from Thomas, who wants to know, is Russell Gage set to succeed with injuries in Atlanta and a favorable schedule coming up?
That's a very subjective question, so I'll give you a very subjective answer. If you are in a deeper league and you want to consider adding him, that's fine. In a 10-team league, no chance. And setting up to succeed, like, does succeed mean he justifies the pickup in a deeper league and can stay on your roster for the rest of the season? Beyond, like, that's about as far as I'm willing to go right now.
I would value him a lot like we valued Mohamed Sanu because he stepped right into that role. He's 14 targets in his two games. He's playing almost every snap. I mean, is Sanu a player you felt like you had to start every week? No, but if maybe it was a bye week and he needed somebody or someone's injured, maybe you throw him in your flex.
Well, it's the same way. Austin Hooper out potentially for a while. So yeah. I think that's where people are thinking, oh, does Russell Gage's value go up?
I look closer. I'm in a league right now.
Russell Gage also makes Al Zeidenfeld's best buy column, only $3,300 today on DraftKings. Mike, Al, and I are going to be doing a DFS podcast a little bit later today for that.
I'm checking to see if he's available right now.
Are we?
Yeah. I can find him. Yeah.
I'm not happy with my co-host right now.
Oh, well, what did Al do to you? Yeah. What's
a little up with trouble that? With the CSS and DFS.
Yeah, a little drama.
Yeah. Question here. Last one comes from Garrett. Do you have Sammy Watkins ranked as a top 20 play for the rest of the season? Love the Mahomes effect, but the production has been underwhelming since week one.
You can probably answer that question for yourself, Garrett. No, I do not.
No, I don't either. No touchdown since week one. You do like the volume, though. He's 8-plus targets in 3 straight and 6 of 7 games so far this season. So that kind of gives me a little pause and suggests that maybe with Pat Mahomes under center, if you're getting 8-plus targets a game, there's obviously a chance that you can have some big days. But, again, the scoring hasn't been there. There's other mouths to feed. I'm going to lean no on this. They also have a really tough playoff schedule.
Same. You guys already said it.
Yeah, tough playoff schedule. You are absolutely right. Remember, the trade deadline is next Wednesday, so probably now is your chance to make a last push for some efforts, for a deal, I should say, because once you get to Tuesday afternoon, it's really hard to push deals past the goal line because it's really hard to make any fantasy trades work. That's how fantasy football often does work out. We have the CFS or whatever, DFS, CSS podcast coming out later on today, right? We also have the wide receiver cornerback matchup is up. Fantasy 32 is up. The fantasy show will be out later on tonight from on ESPN Plus. Daniel's show starring Matthew, or featuring Matthew, I should say. We're back on Friday, though, with a full preview of all the things you need to know for Week 11, plus a recap of the Browns' win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk to you guys then. Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's the fun you pick.